Genesis chapter 39 and the verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's our subject this morning. The Lord was with Joseph. I remind you of the great humiliation that Joseph is suffering. It is especially brought out in verse 1 of chapter 39. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now in that description of Joseph's humiliation, there are three verbs especially that I point out. And notice that one of the verbs occurs twice, at the beginning and at the end. He was brought down, it says at the start of the verse. Brought down, it says at the end of the verse. Here's a man who has been brought down. Now, of course, it's speaking geographically, downwards to Egypt, but it is also true emotionally and physically, socially and mentally. Joseph has been brought low. He could probably say with the psalmist, I was brought low. I was brought down. And so that's what's happening to Joseph. He is undergoing a great humiliation. From his father's house, from the place of nobility, from wearing a coat of nobility, from being a prince among his brethren, he is stripped of all of that and he is brought down. But between the two verbs, there is another verb. It is the verb, he is bought. He's bought. In other words, he's suffering the indignity of being sold like a slave. He was sold twice. He was sold by his brethren. He was sold by the Ishmaelites. He's a man whose humiliation is great and whose indignity is great and his suffering is almost boundless. A slave now in Egypt. His humiliation is great. It is also involuntary. He submitted to it, but he did not choose it. He is involuntary in it. But the humiliation of our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus, stands somewhat in contrast to this, because the humiliation of our Lord Jesus was voluntary. He humbled himself. He gave himself. Christ Jesus was not brought down to the world, but he came down willingly, freely, voluntarily. I lay down my life for the sheep. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. We know that the Lord was betrayed also, our heavenly Joseph, for 30 pieces of silver. But he was not bought. He could never be bought. Rather, in his going down, he bought us in the slave market. And he redeemed us by his blood. So in Christ's humiliation, he is the one who does the buying. And he bought us with his blood. So there's a great humiliation in the chapter. But in this humiliation of Joseph, we see that he is brought to two places in the chapter. The first place where he is brought to as a slave is into Potiphar's house. And we read about that in verses 1 through to 19. The humiliation in Potiphar's house. And then at the end of the chapter, he's in the prison house. And we see his humiliation as a slave in Potiphar's house and as Pharaoh's prisoner in Pharaoh's prison. For Joseph, it goes from bad to worse. He's brought down to the prison house. And looking on, we might think, here's a man God has forsaken. Here's a man God has left. And people might have sympathy for him, but nobody would think the Lord is with him. Everybody looking on would say, he's a God-forsaken man. He mustn't have the Lord with him if all of these things are falling out onto him. Joseph could probably say about his brethren what David said about his enemies. David said, mine enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. This is what his brothers did. They take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Take him and persecute him. That's what his brethren said. God's left him. Take him, persecute him. We'll throw him into the pit. We'll send him down as a slave into Egypt. The Lord is not with him, his brethren might say. There's none to deliver him. And so he looks like a God-forsaken man to his brethren. And they thought the same about the Lord Jesus, didn't they? You remember how at the cross they mocked Christ about this? He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. We will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. If he'll have him. If he'll have him. God has forsaken him. And the Jews said, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. The Lord has left him. The Lord has left him. He's a man of sorrows. God can't be with him. He's despised and rejected. He's brought low. Therefore, surely he must be forsaken by the Lord. And maybe even Joseph is thinking this himself in his own heart. He's saying, maybe he's saying like the Lord on the cross, my God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? He maybe even feels as if he's forsaken by the Lord. And maybe people who look at his life think that. But we are wrong if we conclude that. We are utterly wrong to think he is forsaken by the Lord. You know, we must never judge of a man's relationship to God by the sufferings that he has to face. You must never conclude he's suffering so much the Lord must have left him. We could never conclude that. And the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 39, he wants to tell us now very definitely. If we didn't know it already in chapter 37 where the Lord's name doesn't appear, he brings it in now in chapter 39, and the Holy Spirit very definitely wants us to know the Lord was with Joseph. He's very much with him. Didn't William Cowper write, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. That describes Joseph. Suffering does not necessarily mean God's absence. The text says, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. So the Holy Spirit is telling us very definitely in this chapter, in Potiphar's house and in the prison house, the Lord is with him. The Holy Spirit wants us to know this. Four times in the chapter it says it. Four times. Notice how the chapter begins. Genesis 39 verse 2. And the Lord was with him. And notice verse 3. His master, Potiphar, even he saw that the Lord was with him. Twice it says it, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. The first thing the Lord wants us to know before Joseph sinks any lower is that the Lord is with him. He wants to put out of our minds any doubt about Joseph's integrity and godliness. And so we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The Lord was with Joseph, and we have the eyewitness of Potiphar, who also sees this is a man the Lord is with. Now, I don't know how much Potiphar knows about Joseph. I don't know if he knows all about his past. He must have knew something about it. He's a miserable slave now. But whatever, he sees that this man is different. Even in the midst of his suffering, his life tells that he has God's presence. And so in Potiphar's house, the Lord is with him. And that's how the chapter begins. But you'll notice also how the chapter ends. In verse 20, it says there, Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, where the prisoners of the king were bound. He was there in the prison, verse 21, but the Lord was with, there's it again, the Lord was with Joseph. The start of the chapter, the Holy Spirit, the Lord's with Joseph. The end of the chapter, the Lord says, the Lord's with Joseph. The Lord's with him. And then verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Four times it says in this chapter, the Lord was with Joseph. It says that twice. And it says two times the Lord was with him. With him. He had the Lord in Potiphar's house. But still he's brought even lower. He's slandered. He's thrown into the prison. And there in the prison, he still has the Lord with him. Do you see the word but there in verse 21? Oh, happy but the Lord was with him. Can anything be more clear this morning, brethren and sisters? The whole chapter is enclosed, telling us, here's a man God is with. He's slandered, he's lied against, he's thrown into the prison, but the Lord is with him. He is not forsaken at all. You remember Stephen, the first martyr. He had a great apology to give to the Sanhedrin. Not apologizing for his faith, that's not what the word means in olden times, but defending it. And in defending his faith, he referred to Joseph. And he didn't miss this fact. The patriarchs, he said, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Stephen said that. He didn't miss the fact. Whatever Joseph's outward circumstances, and they are very miserable, and they're getting worse, but whatever, he has the Lord. Now, if the Lord tells us this four times, brethren and sisters, and it's repeated in the New Testament by the first holy martyr, Stephen, that the Lord is with Joseph, then it's something we have to pause at and think about. We had better see him mainly as that man who has God's presence.
That's the main thing about him. He has the Lord. He has the Lord. This is prominently how we are to view Joseph in our studies of him. Yes, he's many things. He's the shepherd. He's the sufferer. He's the steward of all his master's goods. He becomes the sovereign, second only to Pharaoh in the land. He becomes the savior of Israel. But in all of these things, the most important truth of all is this. He has the Lord. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. And nothing can be more important than that, brethren and sisters. God's people have the Lord. No matter what. Blessed Joseph. He has no father now. He has no mother now and no brothers to console him. Only the memory of a family that rejected him. He has no friends to help him. Plenty to hurt him. But God is with him. Always with him. With him in his dreams. With him in Shechem. With him in Dothan. With him in the pit where there's not even any water. The Lord is with him. With him in the caravan going down as a slave to Egypt. With him on the slave stallhold being sold. With him in Potiphar's house. With him in Pharaoh's prison. In every place and at all times. Here's a man God is with. The Lord is with him. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. Now I want you to notice who it is who is with him. It is the Lord. The capital letters occur. Therefore the word is Jehovah. He is the man who has Jehovah. We did say that in chapter 37 the Lord's name never occurs. Just the invisible hand. But here in chapter 39, it abundantly occurs. 8 times. Every one of them most interesting. 4 of them to remind us he has Jehovah's presence. 8 times in the chapter Jehovah's name occurs. Jehovah's name comes back into the text. We're seeing the Lord. It doesn't occur again after chapter 39 until chapter 49. When around the deathbed of Jacob we gather and he says, dying and giving his last breath, he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Jehovah. O Jehovah. So the whole chapters between 39 and 49, there's no mention of Jehovah. Now the word God occurs and other names for the Lord, but the word Jehovah does not occur. But here in chapter 39, it occurs abundantly. Jehovah is with Joseph. Whatever you think. This is a chapter which is giving an abundance of Jehovah's presence. Now let's be clear about 3 things. And I speak to Christians this morning. All Christians who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is that the Lord Jehovah is with us because of Emmanuel. Do you remember how it was announced in those early days of the story of the Nativity? How it was said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God is with us. Emmanuel. We have the presence of God. And Joseph has the presence of God, and a sinner
can only have the presence of God because of that virgin-born child, Emmanuel. He is no ordinary child. He is God with us. That's the only way we as sinners can enjoy God's presence. The Lord has to come. The Lord has to take our nature. The Lord has to seek us out and save us and reconcile us to Himself and bring us into His presence so that we can be poor, needy sinners who have the presence of God. You see, Joseph is a sinner like all the rest of us. Yes, he's a saint, saved and sanctified, living, as far as the text is concerned, a very blameless life, but God's presence has made him that through grace. He's a sinner, and he only has Jehovah in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can have God's presence. It's through His Son. It's Emmanuel in the text. The Lord with Joseph. Now, of course, Emmanuel has not been incarnate at the time, but he will, according to the tenor of the everlasting covenant upon which God bases all His actions, whether Christ has died or not. He bases it on the tenor of the covenant, which in time Christ does ratify by His blood, the everlasting covenant. But before He dies and shed His blood, everything is done on the basis of that covenant to be ratified in time, in the fullness of time. So while Emmanuel is not incarnate, but in the fullness of time he will be, Joseph enjoys God's presence because of him. You can be sure of that. He doesn't enjoy the presence of God apart from the Son of God, the Word made flesh in time. Why do we have the Lord? Why does Joseph have the Lord? Because the Lord came for us, and the Lord died for us, and the Lord redeemed us. You remember Adam and Eve? They fled from the presence of God, but the Lord came and found them and brought them into His presence again. Far off, but made nigh. We only can have and enjoy the Lord's presence in and through Jesus Christ. And child of God, you have God's presence because you have Jesus Christ. You have your faith in Him. No incarnation, no presence of God with us. No atonement upon the cross, no presence of God with us. No reconciliation in Christ's death, no presence of God with us. But we have all of those things. We have an incarnate Christ. And we have a substitutionary Christ. And a reconciling Christ. We have our faith in Christ. And therefore we have Emmanuel. We have God with us. God's with you. Don't look at your sufferings. Don't be looking at the pit with no water in it and it's really dark and bleak. Look at your Christ. You have Him. God with us. So by believing in Jesus, we have Him. Joseph has his faith in the Lord. He knows Emmanuel. Not as well as we know Him. We have the full light of the gospel. But according to the light he had, he knows Emmanuel. What does the Bible say? By faith, Joseph. By faith, Joseph. So he has faith. And only Christians have the Lord with him. Unconverted sinners are still fleeing from him. Unconverted sinners are flying from the Lord's presence. And unconverted sinners will never enjoy the Lord's presence until they know Jesus Christ. So we have the Lord because of the God who is with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is in the text. Anytime you read the Lord was with somebody, you think Emmanuel. And then the second thing is, the Lord will never forsake his people. The Lord was with him at the start of the chapter. The Lord is with him at the end of the chapter. The promise of his presence is part of the saving covenant that he makes with believers. I mean, this idea of being saved today and lost tomorrow is utterly opposite to what the Word of God teaches. The promise in the covenant is, I will be with you always. You're my people, I'm your God. We're together, we shall be together always. And so Joseph is only enjoying what every Christian is promised. He's only enjoying what he has in his salvation. And this is true for every Christian. It is always true for the saint. The Lord is with you. Now sometimes we don't feel it. I mean, it's hard to feel when you're in the dark pit. Probably Joseph didn't even feel it when he was in that pit. There's no water. His whole world is caving in. He's probably feeling, oh, the Lord's not with me. Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? And they took his coat and they shoved him onto the caravan, and he's going down to Egypt as a slave, and he's probably in despair. He only has his dreams to hold on to, and they're probably fading, and he's probably saying, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Why have you left me? He doesn't feel that the Lord is with him. It's very difficult to believe in the time of suffering that the Lord is with us. We don't feel it. The sense of it goes. But whether we feel it or not, the Lord has promised it. And he cannot lie. And Christians are members of Emmanuel's body by faith in him. And the members can never be bereft of the head. And the members can never be forsaken of the Lord's presence. It's impossible. Though we may lose the sense of it, we do never lose the promise of it. And it's very often promised. The Lord says, he shall call upon me, I will answer him and be with him in trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. I won't leave him. The Lord of hosts, we often sing in the Psalm 46. It's the refrain that occurs a number of times. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. Best of all, one of those said, I think it was Wesley, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. I will help thee and hold thee up with the right hand of my righteousness. I, the God of Israel, will never forsake them. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. And how did the Lord Jesus end his ministry among us? As he appeared to disappear in his humanity from us, what did he promise us and assure us of? As he ascended up into the heights and his humanity left us, did he leave us? No. But by the sacred presence of his Spirit, he is with us, and he said, lo, I am with you always. Always, Joseph. Even when your brothers throw you into the pit, even when you go down to Egypt, even whenever you're slandered and thrown into a prison, and your whole world caves in, always I'm with you. In the prison house, the bud may have a bitterness, but the Lord's with them, and sweet will be the flower. Yes, the Lord has promised this. And then lastly, a drastic change in circumstances and the onslaught of terrible dark providences does not alter this. That's really the main lesson in the chapter, isn't it? I think that's what the Holy Spirit is really trying to assure us about as he encloses Joseph. These terrible things happen to him, but the Holy Spirit wants us to know that the Lord is truly with him, even when he goes through the deepest waters. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, I'll not overflow thee. I'll be with you. And so that's really what's happening here in this chapter, isn't it? Remember how the Lord said about his people that they're built upon the rock, and he says that the rain descends, the winds blow, the storms come and beat upon the house. Yeah, you'll get the rain. You'll get the storms beating upon your house. It'll happen. The Lord didn't say, maybe the rain will come. No, he said the rain descended. And the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. We suffer just the way the ungodly suffer. But we have the presence of the rock Christ upon which we are built. And we endure through it all because of that. Joseph endures. He endures. He doesn't go out and take an overdose. He endures because the Lord is with him. The psalmist said, Lord, you've proved us, you've tried us in the furnace, just like silver's tried. You caused men to ride over our heads. We had nothing but a hard time. We went through fire and we went through water. But you brought us out. Because he went through it with them. He went through it together with them. And at the other side, he came out with them. You did it, Lord. You caused them to go over our heads. But you were still with us. So, brethren and sisters, when you're weeping tears in trying circumstances, remember Joseph. Remember his tears, but also remember in his tears the Lord was with him. And lift up your voice in your trials. And pray in faith. And say something like, Father, I thank thee. I thank thee that thou dost love me. Whom you love, you chasten. And even when you chasten me, you do not leave me. And as I was with Joseph, so in all my trials, be with me for the sake of your holy child, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with me in all my trials. And he will.